And we are pleased to be joined by a regular guest here on In Focus, Mayor Ron Higgins of North Frontenac. Thank you so much for being here, Ron.
Well, thank you, Bob. Pleasure to be here again.
In the news recently, we were reporting that these large power generating windmills, there had been maybe some thought to get them put into North Frontenac, but that's been shot down now. And that really strikes a chord with you because you have a lot of, you have feelings on renewable energy, shall we say, and the way that it should be delivered and placed in the province. And you wanted to come today to talk to us a little bit about that. And we're very pleased that you did. So thank you very much for coming in today.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Let's start off. Now, there's a number of different topics that you want to cover today. So let's first start off with that decision. Maybe explain to us a little bit more what happened and what was at stake.
Okay. So as you're, I guess about a year ago now, I was on the air here, and we had at that time declared ourselves an unwilling host, which we thought meant something at the time, but as it turns out, it doesn't, because of the awards that IESO just awarded, some municipalities who declared themselves as unwilling hosts did get solar or wind. So we declared ourselves an unwilling host and thought we stood a good chance, but the more we got into it over the year, the more nervous I was getting. So I was very glad at the end that we found out that we weren't being awarded the wind turbines. And I think a lot of it has to do with our stance very early on in the game, and we kept pressure on IESO and the residents in the area, the Bon Echo group, the Bon Echo residents against wind turbines were very, very aggressive on trying to stop them coming into that area as well.
What was the main complaint against them?
It's same as what every municipality in Ontario is doing right now. There hasn't been enough studies done on the health aspects of it, the environmental impact of it. A lot of feedback was saying that we just didn't want them in our backyard. Well, that is one of the reasons, but there's health and environmental concerns as well.
In addition to the visual,
that's correct.
You know, takeaway from the landscape.
Yeah. The killing of birds and bats and complaints coming from health concerns of people in municipalities that have wind turbines has been documented, but there hasn't been any official federal or provincial health studies done on those yet to confirm one way or another. So to me, that's a huge issue. Before you put things in, you need to understand the impact to the humans before you start doing that.
Now, it's done for now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the battle is over. There's more on the horizon, aren't there?
Yeah, I'm glad you said the word battle. I got when I started this last year, it was a war, basically, and there's three battles. The first one, we basically won that one for our township, and I feel bad for those that did get them, that were declared unwilling hosts as well. So we're sort of banding together as a bunch of municipalities to help out going forward. So there's two more battles going on. One is in 2017 when the next RFP will be coming out. So in between now and then, there's a review.
It's not a long turnaround, is it? They go right back to the board pretty quickly, don't
they? Pretty quick. So anytime this month or early April, IESO wants to improve the RFP process. So there's going to be consultations being done. A couple of weeks ago, North Frontenac declared that we, in the RFP requirements, when we declare ourselves as unwilling hosts, then that should become a mandatory requirement and not come in there. Minister Shirelli said that most municipalities or any municipality that would declare themselves an unwilling host probably would not get wind turbines, but that turned out to be false. So we still got some more work to do and want to improve the process going forward in the RFP.
Now, we'll talk about that just in just one second. But first, if you could just define a couple terms for me and for our listeners, IESO. When you're saying that, what do you mean?
That's the Independent Electricity System Operators who run the RFPs, the procurement for electricity for Ontario. So independent from the provincial government.
And when you say RFP, you're referring to
Request for proposal.
Okay. And so that would really... sorry, I just wanted to define those terms for our listeners and a little bit myself. Now, when you talk about changing the requirements, there are certain specific areas that you do believe should be looked at right away.
Yes, I do. And that's the mandatory versus rated criteria. The current request for proposal, when a proponent comes into an area, they're trying to get municipal support. And if they get that, they get all the points in the rated portion of the request for proposal. And there's a bunch of mandatory requirements they have to meet. So what we're saying is the municipal support right now is rated. We'd like to see that become mandatory.
Should they not maybe even just drop the term like non-willing participant, because if it doesn't matter, then what's the point of, you know, going through the process of declaring yourself a non-willing participant when you should really just be, it sounds like you're going to be defending your reasons regardless of what you say.
Yeah, and that's not part of the IESO process. Premier Wynne had made that statement at a conference, or she made that statement at a public meeting, said any unwilling host won't get them, and that's where this terminology all started from.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. Yeah. It certainly is, and it doesn't appear to do a heck of a lot when you put that kind of terminology in. You would hope that it would, especially if it's coming from the Premier's office, right?
Yeah, well, that's what most of us thought at the beginning, and it turned out it's false, so...
All right, so moving forward, let's talk about what you lovingly refer to as your battle plan, shall we?
We shall.
And you know what? Really, it's a great description, because that is really how you feel when you go in. We've spoken to many different groups, many different politicians, and that's how they feel when they're going up. But they know that it's not going to be really a series of discussions. You're not just going to sit down for a coffee and work things out. This is almost a battle, you know, when you go through it. So it's an apt description, and... why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going to happen?
Okay, so going forward, I talked about the IESO requirements. Those are critical to get done right away, because the IESO is gathering input over the next month. And in between the input and consultations and review of the input, it's going to take about a year to get a final request for proposal for the next round. So they're talking spring of 2017 for that one, and the spring of 2018 for the third and final one. So that's the IESO requirements. To me, the major battle will be with the provincial government. We shouldn't be doing this in the first place. It's just absurd the way they're implementing the Green Energy Act. It just doesn't make sense. It's very costly. It doesn't reduce emissions. It actually increases emissions. And I'll cover that in detail towards the end of the interview. I got some information that I want to portray to everybody, because I've been getting comments, not majority of our residents back what I'm saying, but I have been getting comments saying I'm not green, and that prompted me to say, well, I'm not communicating very well what I'm trying to say here. So one of the purposes today is to say I am green, but let's do it in a logical perspective.
There's other ways that it can be done that has less of an impact on the environment, on the area surrounding it. And as you said earlier, they don't even really know the impact that it's going to have on certain types of wildlife and so on, because it just really hasn't been around long enough, right?
No, it hasn't. And whenever you're implementing something, you should be getting all your studies and research done and final reports and base your decisions on facts. That's how I've been running our township. We don't do anything unless we have factual data. In this case, the green energy implementation is to put up wind farms and solar farms when the original intent of green energy was to cut down on emissions. So closing of the coal plants are being attributed to wind and solar coming in, when in actual fact they could have done that with the current hydropower that we had, and to do it that way.
It's almost like, you know, we want to be green for the sake of being green, and we want to put these almost figureheads up, literally, like these giant things that people can drive by and say, oh, well, that's an eyesore. Yeah, but it means we're environmentally conscious, yep. You know? Is that where you're coming from?
That's exactly where I'm coming from. Everybody gets caught up in the word green, and it's exactly the way you portrayed it. The more solar, more wind, the more green people think we are. And so it's one side of the story coming from the provincial government. So all the municipalities are involved with this, and all the organizations that have cropped up to go against wind and solar are now starting to be a lot more educated, including myself, on what the actual story is behind these. And it's not green, like we said.
Well, tell me a little bit about how the municipalities are coordinating their efforts.
Right now, the Green Energy Act in Prince Edward County, they're taking a case to the Supreme Court with the Green Energy Act against the Charter of Rights. Because the Green Energy Act basically, which I've said on the air here before, it basically strips our democratic rights as a municipality, and also strips it from every resident in Ontario, because even though they don't want them, 85% are against them. But the Green Energy Act overrides everything, our bylaws, our official plans, our land use planning. So whether we agree or disagree, they come in anyway. They have the power with the Green Energy Act to do that. So the litigation going against the government from Prince Edward County, they've asked me to be an intervener in that case, which I'm definitely going to apply for. and help them out based on the position paper that I wrote last year about the root cause of all this, was just the government not communicating, not coordinating with the municipalities and driving the Green Energy Act in a way it wasn't intended. It was intended to reduce emissions, wasn't intended to put up wind farms and solar. And there's other ways of reducing emissions other than solar and wind.
Now, there's certainly a level of communication that you want to establish moving forward. Not really establish, but to maybe strengthen and get going with the public, right?
That's correct.
And ensure that the word is getting out there, and both sides are being presented, as you've said a number of times in this interview.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so when you're getting the information from the government, obviously they're going to put their spin to it, and obviously we're going to put our spin to it. But like I said before, what I'm trying to do now is I'm going through a lot of the Green Energy Act and a lot of other provincial acts, gathering information and educating the public once that's done. So I'm hoping to write another paper in the next 4 to 6 weeks based on the research that I'm currently doing.
Okay, that sounds good. And some of the topics in the communication and publicity portion of the next stage of the plan of attack, facts on why renewable energy is not green, you've discussed that, facts on the cost for renewable energy as well, and then land user awareness, which is really a big part of it too,
that's,
isn't it?
That's a huge one. Land use is basically agriculture land is currently being used up by wind farms and solar. For our township and for Lanark, Renfrew, Addington Highlands, Hastings Highlands, we all have a lot of Crown land in the areas that they're proposing to put these wind farms. Now, Crown land belongs to the public. And before you have any changes in the use of Crown land, there's supposed to be public consultations, especially where there's a municipality involved.
Mm-hmm.
So these were proposed to go into, I'm going to talk about North Frontenac right now specifically.
Sure.
These were mentioned to go on Crown land in our area. So I did some research in the last couple of weeks to find out if there's been any land use changes applications put in place, and there are none. We've never had any communications from any ministries in regard to changes in land use planning. So it comes back to what I said before. Before you start implementing wind or solar, you should be doing all your research and get all your ducks lined up and everything signed and everybody in agreement before you go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
This hasn't been done in this case.
Certainly sounds like it. Now, we are sort of approaching the home stretch here, and you had a number of facts that you really wanted to make sure that you were able to convey and to get out there. We'll call this the next step in education for this part of the program. So by all means, I turn the floor over to you and some of the facts that you wanted to share with us.
Okay, so these facts are based on some research I did, and I'll quote the source of these when I say them. So this one is done by Ron Bergeron. He's a professional engineer for electrical business, and he published an article in their magazine in January of this year. And he stated that there's $2.7 billion is wasted every year because of the Green Energy Act. Green energy contracts over 20 years. So that's going to be a minimum of $54 billion in the next 24 years just to implement green. The energy cost, the Fraser Institute, who actually published a paper on cutting down on pollution, estimates by implementing the Green Energy Act, the cost the way it's being implemented now will be $38 billion per year.
That's staggering.
It is.
Yeah.
And the other point, Premier Wynne stated about a month ago when I was at a conference about the number of jobs created because of green energy or renewable energy. Well, for every permanent job that's created because of green energy, there's 2 to 4 jobs lost in other sectors of the economy. And this is written by Ron Bergeron, who did study. And the reason behind that is because of the high electricity prices.
Mm-hmm.
And green energy, wind and solar is driving up the electricity price, not bringing it down.
Sure, because they need to pay for it somehow.
That's correct.
And when you're talking about billions of dollars a year.
That's right.
Yeah, where are they going to get that money from?
Well, a lot of the money is coming from subsidies paid by the provincial government, which is basically yours and my taxes.
Exactly.
And over the next 20 years, each one of us is going to be on the hook for $40,000 on taxes. Each one of us.
For the next 20 years.
Over the next 20 years, up to $40,000 is...
Another staggering number.
Staggering when you look at it that way.
It's unbelievable.
Now, and as I mentioned before, we closed 5 coal plants using wind and solar. That could have been done with hydroelectric, as Ron had pointed out. The Fraser Institute report that was published in 2013 never recommended renewable energy. What it was recommending was a plan it outlined a plan for pollution control methods that would have yielded the same environmental benefits as the Green Energy Act. But that's not the way the government went. The manufacture and construction of wind farms, and this is taken from Christine Whitaker's, a freelance writer from Edgeley. She wrote that the manufacture and construction of wind farms contributes more to global CO2 emissions than they will save for their useful life, which is about 15 to 20 years. So we're going to be creating more CO2 because of the manufacturing, the transportation of this, the building of them on the lands and stuff. All of that puts footprint.
Yeah.
The other one is total CO2 emissions to build one turbine is estimated to be 242 tons of CO2. That's pretty significant.
Wow. These numbers, like I keep saying, like, wow, and that's staggering or whatever, but it's because that's what it is.
Well, this impressed me, too. Our current emissions is at 1.6 of the global emissions worldwide, and China's is up around 24%. And we're manufacturing wind turbines over in China, so they're going to be increasing their manufacturing, which increases CO2 above 24%. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Canada is great. We're reducing ours, but we're increasing other countries. So the overall increase is an increase, not a decrease.
And the reduction that we will see won't be for quite some time.
That's correct.
When you factor in all of the, you know, the manufacturing, transportation, and everything that you're talking about.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Now for pricing, Tom Adams and Scott Loof did a special report to the Financial Post. The Minister of Energy stated that the last renewable energy brings in low prices for electricity. Well, low is to him is 1.2 cents per kilowatt electricity that's bound for New York and Michigan. That's what we sell it for. The actual cost for that for wind turbines is 8.6 cents a kilowatt. New solar is at 15 cents a kilowatt, and we're selling it for 1.2. So. The math doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
The business case doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So basically, under the current version of the FIT program that the government's running, we buy wind power from small projects at 50% premium over the competitive price, and solar is anywhere between 30 and 90% of the premium price. So it's not competitive. And this sort of relates to why our electricity costs are high with all these subsidies and the cost to generate that power. That's why we're all seeing increases in our hydro.
Yeah, exactly.
Wind and sun produce less than 5% of our energy, while over 50% of hydroelectric potential goes wasted. So we already have hydroelectricity in place. We're putting in wind and solar, and we're only using 50% of our hydroelectric, which is how green can you get than hydro, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And in 2015, electricity supply exceeded demand by 50%. So we don't need the power is basically what that's saying. And so those are some of the key ones. I have a whole bunch here, which I'm going to append to my paper when I write it. But I wanted to get those ones out. And I think that's the key ones that I'll mention at that one. So it's just information that the green energy, wind and solar, is costly. And it's actually increasing emissions, not decreasing.
And increasing our hydro bills along the way because we've got to pay for it. And ultimately, increasing taxes.
That's right.
You know, down the road, too. So it's really, you know, you have to ask about the justification when it comes to Bob Chiarelli.
I think it goes a little higher than that. The Lieutenant Governor or General of or Lieutenant Governor of Ontario is actually the one that signs off on the laws. And she takes the advice from the Premier on a lot of things. So I think we need to change. I think we need the Lieutenant Governor needs to hear input from everybody, not just one person representing all of Ontario, which I just saw today. She has a 20% approval rating. So she's representing 20% of the population. The other 80% don't get a say with the Lieutenant Governor when they're passing acts. So.
Yeah, but we know that that's going to be a difficult change to have implemented to get that many different voices in there.
Well, it does, but it's coming back again to the Crown Lands, and the Lieutenant Governor is a stewardship for the Queen on Crown Lands, so I have a big issue with that.
Yeah, I'm not saying it shouldn't be that way. Yeah. I'm just saying it's going to be very difficult to get it to that point and to get it to that way.
Nothing's going to be easy, but if you don't battle it, then
then what's the point?
Yep, what's the point? So I'm game for the battle.
Perfect. And you'll come back and give us an update when need be?
Absolutely.
And we also want to hear in the near future from you as well on the rural municipalities that you've gathered
And, oh, yes.
And
yeah,
of course,
yeah.
You're the spokesperson for that. That project is still going well?
Yeah, it's going very well, yeah. We're actually meeting this Friday in Mississippi Mills. So.
And how many communities now?
14.
14. And yeah. You started off with 11, I do
believe. We did, but we don't want to go above 14.
Okay.
And just for your listeners, that's the Rural Mayors Forum of Eastern Ontario, and there's 14 mayors from different townships. The ones I mentioned before, Hastings, Addington, Lanark, Renfrew, and Frontenac.
Excellent. Well, listen, we'll have you back on that. We'll just establish an office for you here in the lobby. And you're welcome to come back anytime, yeah. Ron. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you very much, Bob.
You're very welcome. It's Mayor Ron Higgins of North Frontenac. We've been talking about the renewable energy status and strategy of renewable energy in his community and really beyond, and how it affects communities similar to his, clear across Ontario.